I promised you today. I've been promising for a good couple of months now that this would mark the beginning of a new era. But before I do, before I announce and promise you the new era, I want to briefly honor where we've come from. I think it's really important to understand, and maybe you've only been with us for a short while and you don't know anything about our history, our backstory, what's created us and formed us to be in this moment. And over the past 2 years, we've spoken about us being a church that was planted by God now 42 years ago. 42 years young. Pastor Phil Hill sent Pastor Tim Hall to Geelong to support and then plant a Spirit-filled church. It was going to be a blessing to the city. And for 42 years, we as a local church congregation have continued to be faithful to the call to go to the region of Geelong. We've stood in the gap on behalf of our city for 42 years. We've given glory to God through every season, amen. Some of those seasons were like top of the mountain. Some of them were like, I don't know if I can climb the mountain anymore. But we've stayed faithful and given glory to God in all seasons. We've preached the good news of Jesus. We've discipled believers, taught the ways of Jesus, baptized believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've seen families raised. We've seen marriages ordained. We've seen buildings bought. We've seen commission and mandate outworked and more, all for the glory of Jesus, all for the glory of God. And so we started as a local church. We were started by a local church also, a local church that believed in the Great Commission, a local church that believed that God had given us power to go into all the world. And we still believe it today. We're still committed to it today. Now, I want to honor the pastors that have come before us and the congregation that has come before us. It started with Pastor Tim Hall, as many of you know. But then we had pastors who came after him, Pastor Graham Leach, Pastors Ron and Frieda Lewis, Pastor Colin and Hazel Oates, Pastor Jim McMillan, and Pastor Phil and Glennis Ward. And all the congregations that stood in the gap over those pastors who came through. Every single one of these pastors that's come before us in the congregation offered their service to God. Amen? The congregation offered their service to God. And they all offered their service to the region of Geelong. Every congregation member chose to set their heart and face toward God and His plans and His promises. And by the grace of God, we're the congregation that's doing that now in this season, amen. In Psalm 78, verse 7, it says this, "So each generation should set its hope anew in God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands." Each generation should set its heart, its hope anew to God. And I, by the grace of God, through every generation that we've seen come through our church, there's been this obedience and this humble heart. So I'm just going to set my hope anew to God. So we find ourselves in this fresh moment on the precipice of a new era, a moment for our generation to set its hope and its faith anew to God and His plans. We revel in the glorious miracles that He has done in the past, that He's done in us in this season, and that He's going to do in the future. We revel in the glorious miracles that we've seen happen in us and in our city. But we also find ourselves stepping into His commands for this season with obedience in our hearts. I've made you wait long enough. Why don't we turn to the screens this morning? Hello, my dear friends. It's truly wonderful to be with you today. My name is Lee, and I come to you with deep gratitude and a real sense of anticipation for
for what God is unfolding among us. I invited you today with the promise of a new era for our church. But first, it's important that we honor the journey that's brought us here. Since 1984, when Pastor Tim Hall and a group of passionate people planted this church, we've seen the kingdom of God move in countless lives across Geelong and beyond. For many years, we've been known and loved as Gateway, and what a rich legacy that name carries. We're so grateful for the stories and the people and the foundation built over the last 40 plus years. After years of prayer and discernment and conversations with our board and eldership, we believe God is leading us into a new season. A season that calls for bold faith and renewed clarity about who we are and who God is calling us to be. So today I'm excited to share that from Sunday, June 14th, we'll officially be known as Reside Church. This new season brings a renewed focus and identity that we'll be a people where God dwells in us and where we dwell in Him. The word reside means to dwell, to make a permanent home. It speaks of deep belonging and of being rooted and living a life anchored in God's presence. Not just attending church, but truly making our home in Him. Now, this is captured beautifully in 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we reside in God and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Our heart is that Reside Church will be a place where people don't just visit, but belong. A place where people find their home in God's kingdom and help others to do the same. A church where God's presence isn't something that we encounter occasionally, but something that we carry every day. This change is more than a name. It's an invitation to deeper faith, stronger community, and a clearer sense of purpose. So we invite you to join us as we step into this new era together. Let's continue to discover what it means to truly reside in God and to be a dwelling place for God's glory. Thank you for being part of this story. We can't wait to see what God does. Welcome to Reside Church.
Well, well, well. It's all become clear. It's a huge shift. And I understand for some people it's like, I'm going to need at least 14 years to process this. because it is a huge shift. But to be honest, I've spent the last 2 years praying, listening, discerning. People would walk into my office and there'd be scribbles all over the 8x4 whiteboard on my wall. And they look at me like, this makes absolutely no sense. And so it didn't to me yet either. It was just God just taking me through a journey. But more importantly, in this huge shift, it's a Spirit-led response. It's obedience to God's direction for us as a local church going forward. I want to spend a short moment just unpacking this groundbreaking moment for us as a church. I want to speak to you today from the scriptures with a heart that is burdened by God's call for us as a church. You know, there's a twofold responsibility for every believer, everyone that follows Jesus. And the first is that we need to hear from the generations that went before us. It's imperative for us to understand the generations that have gone before us. It's important for us to understand all the good things that God has done in the past. And then we need to proclaim the power and effectiveness of God and His anointing and His power. It says this in Psalm 145:4. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. It's really easy just to always be future-focused. It's really easy to always be looking in the rearview mirror. It's really easy to do those things, but it's often hard to be in this moment, taking in both and going, but we're called for this moment. We celebrate the victories of the past. We're hopeful about what God's going to do in the future, but we're called right here, right now, to fulfill the promises of God. And we want to tell you, young person or person that's been with us for a while, God has done mighty things in our church, within its people, and within our city. God has moved in power. God has come through in clutch moments where we couldn't have figured out things on our own. We were insufficient. We had weakness, but God came through on our behalf. And we want to tell you about the victories, the battles that have been fought and won, the challenges that we went through that we never thought we'd make it, but God has prevailed. Amen? Amen. For those of you who've been with us for a while, you're like, I walked those with you, Pastor. I walked those with the previous pastors. The second responsibility for every single believer is to make sure that there are people who hear the voice and summoning of God. God summons us all, calls us all. Says this in Isaiah 41:4. Who has done such mighty deeds, summoning each new generation from the beginning of time? It is I, the Lord, the first and the last. I alone am He. God summons every new generation. Every new generation from the beginning of time, He has called, He has summoned, called them unto Himself. And I want to encourage you, you are being called on by the Lord. God is summoning you into the glorious life of being a follower of Jesus, the glorious hope of being a disciple of Jesus. And in this very moment, this generation, this now generation is being called by God, summoned by God. It's God who summoned the generations that came before us. It's God who summoned the pastors that came before us. It's God. You know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, who God is, that He is the great I am, that He is the first, He is the last. The God of all creation, the God of all of the universe, is summoning each and every single one of us. It's He who performs the mighty deeds. It's He who calls the generations. But it's us who joins Him, who listens to the summoning and says, I will join you, God, in the great and glorious deeds that you are going to outwork. So I truly believe that today is a moment where God's calling this now generation to be part of the new generation. So hang on, aren't generations like 25 to 30 years apart? No, we are the now generation that God has called. We are, and this season we are walking into something new. This is going to be an extraordinary era of our church being on mission in our everyday lives. On mission in our everyday lives. You know, if you're in this room, you are part of the now generation. This is the beginning of an unprecedented season of God's power moving, of salvation, of growth, of development in us and within the church. An extraordinary era. Be reminded today that God is good. God is good. You know, that statement may have been used as a throwaway line to get some people to say all the time back. For those who've been in church a while, God is good. There you go, right? All the time. It's been used as like a catchphrase, but God is good. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says this, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. This generation, right now, His unfailing love continues to us, amen. Why? Because He's good. He's good. Let's talk about our name for just a little bit. You know, I briefly mentioned in the video that the word reside means to dwell, to remain permanently, to have one's permanent home in a particular place. It's about abiding. It's about inhabiting, to be residents who dwell permanently. You know, this is why our new logo has a locator pin. It's a locator pin on our new logo. And this locator pin, let's be clear, is not for our current earthly address. It's not for our current church address. That's not why we've got a locator pin on our logo. It's a pin that declares that we exist as the local church to offer the good news of Jesus, that anyone who would listen and call on the name of Jesus would be found residing in a new place. That anyone who would listen to the good news shared to them would now reside not in a church building, not in a small group, but reside in the kingdom of God. That their new location will be found in the kingdom of heaven, brothers and sisters in Christ. That eternity would be stamped on the hearts of all who believe, amen. You know, our key scripture for this new era is 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we reside in God and He in us, in that He has given us of His Spirit. Amen? We reside in God and He in us. So when we think about where we're located, when we think about who we're called by, we're not on the outside. We're not on the outside of God's love. When we choose to follow Jesus, we're located as sons and daughters. We reside in God and He resides in us. Now, I've got a couple of supporting passages to help us through this season as well. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we've come to know and believe the love that God has in us. God is love. And the one who resides in love resides in God, and God resides in him." Bit of a mouthful of words, lots of resides in there. But it's like when we love God, when we call upon his name, when we're saved by him, God resides in us and we reside in him, amen. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So then I will boast most gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may reside in me.'" The promise for every single person that calls upon the name of the Lord and follows him. And lastly, I love this passage of scripture. "How happy are those who reside in your house who praise you continually." There is joy in the house of the Lord. You reside in Jesus. There is joy that fills your heart. And in our praise this morning, how could you not just help but praise continuously? Like his praise is coming off your lips. Why? Because he resides in us, because we reside in him. And so I put to you this morning that Reside Church is a church to belong in. But it's not just about the four walls. It's about residing in him. Now, the statement of mission that we stepped into just a matter of months ago, and for those of you who are unaware of it, I'll read it out. We're a spirit-filled church devoted to loving God and sharing the good news of Jesus. We're spirit-filled, commissioned, and wholly devoted. See, with all of our hearts as a church, we believe that we've been commissioned by Jesus to share the good news. Love that second song that we sang this morning, that praise song. This is the good news. Yeah, that everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We believe that we are those who reside in God and He in us. And we are those that have been commissioned to see others reside in the kingdom of God. It's not get saved and then we're like, I'm just going to hang out and wait for either to pass on or Jesus to come back. That's not the good news of salvation. The good news of salvation, that God saved us from our sin. Even while we were sinners, he saved us from our sin. And now we get to share that good news with others as well. There's hope and freedom from sin for all humanity because of Jesus. See, we're not only residing and belonging in church, but permanently we're residing with God in the kingdom. It's my heart. I pray that it becomes your heart as well. That eternity would be added and found in the hearts of our families and the families of our city. That eternity would be added to the hearts of our families and the families of our city. That all would reside in him. That all would have him residing in their hearts. Our mission, our mandate, it is unchanged. In fact, it's strengthened. God calls this generation and those who come to be in his will, to run with the purpose of Jesus' commission. So today, what's the call to action for you today? Well, firstly, to process the change. Some people are like, let's go. Let's not wait till June 14th. Let's go now. Others are like, June 14th, that's like way too close. So process the change. But I say this with sincerity in my heart. This is good change. Change for where God has called us to personally grow into what it means for you and your family. And I ask the question, what could it mean for you today? What could this mean for you today, just as the team comes this morning? What could this mean? Now, firstly, if you don't know Jesus personally, what could this mean for you today? It could mean that you'd understand that God wants to reside in your heart and for you to reside in him. It could mean that today you understand for the very first time that you can have a permanent home with him. That your eternity would change based on receiving God's forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, his Son. If you know him, what could this mean for you today? These are just some things. It could mean many things for all of us, but that your heart is freshly lit on fire to see your family and friends reside in eternity and belong to the local church. If you've got friends and family that don't know him, perhaps this means that your heart can be set on fire to see that come to pass. It's really easy as time goes by and we maybe don't see that God's moving in the way that he thought he was going. It's really easy to lose heart and lose hope. But maybe our hearts can be freshly lit on fire in this season. Maybe that you're freshly moved by God to be a light of the world to your sphere of influence and our city. Maybe it's at school, maybe it's at uni. Maybe it's with colleagues, maybe it's in a community group. But God has called you to be a guiding light that draws people to the kingdom. And so today, if you don't know him personally, let's just close our eyes for just a moment. If you don't know him personally today, I want to give you the opportunity to be known by God, to call on the name of the Lord, to be saved by God, to have forgiveness of sins, and to step into a glorious life that he has for you. Does it mean that life's just going to get miraculously easy? No, it's not going to get miraculously easy. But eternity, God will reside in your heart, and you'll be known by him, and your life will have purpose that you've never known before. So if that's you today, just with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to give you the opportunity in a moment to pray a prayer. But before we pray the prayer, I want to give you the opportunity to say, yeah, that's me. I need to be known by God. I need to be forgiven of my sin. And I want to be a son and daughter of God. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up. Once you've put your hand up, you can put it back down. Maybe you've attended church for a long time. You've never made a public decision. Maybe this is your first time attending. You're like, this all makes sense. This is what I've been looking for. that's you on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. One, two, three. Is there anyone who's going to say, yeah, that's me? Yep, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be known. I want to be forgiven. Lord Jesus, God comes to you today, knocks on the door of your heart. Says, will you let me in? I want to reside in your heart. That you be known by God the Father and loved. Does anyone say, yeah, I want that? This is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray a prayer. Whether you put your hand up or whether you didn't. One or two people did put their hand up, but if you didn't, it's okay. I'm not worried about your hand. God loves you. God loves you. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Church, can you help in joining us pray this morning? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. He walked among the world, blameless, without sin. He went to the cross, went to the grave, and rose again on the third day. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised him. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my ways. And from today, I'm choosing to follow you and all of the good things that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.